Yo, Marcus L. Spade Johnson here, also known by DJ L. Spade. And I got a new album coming out November 16th. L. Spadia 2, and I will be ecstatic. You guys, go stream that or buy it. Blessings. November 16th, L. Spadia 2. Coming out of this podcast, just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And the news game been crazy lately. This shit's been happening, and it's a lot to deal with, bro. A whole lot to deal with and talk about. So, with that being said, I invited my homie, Alex Lex Caliber, star of the Benza 2, coming out in November. I'm sorry, December, to come here and just discuss some issues with me, man. Every once in a while, you guys will say that I'm shooting off, I'm getting too emotional. And let me just clear something up real quick. Like, I really don't be mad. Like, I know I'm passionate and I speak with a loud voice, but like, I'm really not mad. I'm not arguing with y'all, man. Nor am I an expert, man. I'm just a dude talking on the internet. And I want to make that clear. Just a dude, man. I'm not an expert. I'm giving my opinions. You have a right to disagree with my opinions, and I'm cool with you disagreeing with my opinion. I'm not going to argue with you, bro. However, I do get mad that people in this podcast space peddle themselves, or not even peddling themselves, but get elevated to this level of expert or expertise because they got a lot of followers. It's like, bro, you got followers. That don't mean you know what the hell you're talking about just because you got a million people following you. I just want to throw that out there. But with that being said, man, let me introduce my homie, Alex Caliber Hunter. How you doing, brother, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me black. Thank you for having me back
on
your platform. Back in black. Yes. Bliggity black. Black actors extraordinaire.
Black actors, baby.
But yeah, man, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that.
Oh, no, man. Like I said, dude, you definitely keep me in line. You tell me if I'm tripping, dude. Like,
I try.
You know,
I don't always succeed, but I try.
Well, before we even get started, let me give you your roses, man, because the Benza 2 is coming out very, very soon. As well as L. Spadia 2 coming out November 16th. Go listen to that on all music streaming service providers. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that. But the Benza 2, man, you're actually stepping out because you're playing two characters, man. You're kind of doing some Eddie Murphy there, man. You're playing two characters. Or am I giving it away?
No, that's part of the whole main story. So you didn't give anything major away. But yeah, we wrapped the shooting recently. And the pieces I've seen of it, it looks good. We learned a lot in season one, and so we built upon that for season two, and we did some new things with technology and ways to shoot things. And yeah, it's dope, bro. And playing two characters, it was my first time having to do that. That wasn't voice acting, because I've had to voice act multiple characters for the same show before.
Well, you definitely showed your range on this one, man. I would say because one of your characters is kind of stoic and heroic. Then on the flip side, you play somebody who's kind of like a coward. And it was like, yo, you know what? You show range, big guy, I must say. And I must say the videos I've seen of it too, you know, Inside Privy, man, I know people. I've seen, quick flex here. I've seen like four episodes. And the four episodes I've seen, pretty damn dope, man. All right, just for everybody knows what's going on, but for those of y'all been under a rock, basically what happened was Aaron Rodgers lied about being vaccinated. He told the public that he was immunized, which people took it as he was being vaccinated, and he ended up catching COVID, and now he's out for, I want to say, 2 weeks because of the COVID protocol, and he's being fined. Matter of fact, I read the story, he's being fined a measly $15,000. And the Green Bay Packers are only getting fined $300,000. Now, keep in perspective, that's a lot of money for my broke ass. But Aaron Rodgers is getting paid $50 million this year. $13,000 versus $50 million this year is literally a slap on the wrist. Aaron also got in further trouble when he said that, look, he'd been drinking some kind of homeopathic medicine that was supposed to keep him safe from COVID. And he also got advice for wait for it. The homie Joe Rogan. Yes. Got the medical advice from Joe Rogan. So, of course, we know if you get the medical advice from Joe Rogan, everything's A1. Because hell, it's Joe Rogan, man. He got a million followers, so he has to know what's going on in the medical field, right? And that's where we at. Now, before I get into my spiel, Alex, what's your take on this whole situation?
I mean, first, from the jump, when the reporter said, have you been vaccinated? And he immediately switched the lingo, like, I'm immunized.
Red flag.
That's a red flag right there. Red flag. You know, he's trying to run game. He's trying to, it's a lie by omission, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very irresponsible because football, it's not a one-man sport, man. You got a whole team, especially when you are the leader like Aaron Rodgers and you are that elite person that people look up to and they rely on you at game time and in practice, you let your team down by, and you didn't just let your team down, you lied about it. So you didn't take a stand like you know, for example, when Kaepernick took the knee, there was no misleading done. He's like, this is exactly what's going on. Aaron Rodgers tried to hide what was going on. So he deceived his team. And that, you know, it's hard to trust somebody after that. Like, you kind of threw us under the bus, so to speak.
Okay, I'm glad you actually brought up Kaepernick, right? Because I made a Facebook post. And let me just read exactly what I said on Facebook, because I've been getting a lot of shit for this post.
You always be getting shit, Marcus.
I mean, you know, dude, my shoulder's big enough. I can take it. But I said, I'm just saying, when are we going to start trashing Aaron Rodgers like Kaepernick and Kyrie Irving? I'm ready when you guys are. And that went to, like, a lot of people say, yeah, Marcus, you're telling the truth. To other people say, oh, that's your problem. You're making everything racial. Now, first, let me just point out, I just said, when are we going to start trashing Aaron Rodgers like we did Kaepernick and Kyrie Irving? But I would be remiss if I didn't say that the perfect counterpoint to this is Colin Kaepernick that you brought up. And the reason why I say this is because when Kaepernick first took the knee, the argument was first that he broke the rules. People say, oh, man, he's breaking the rules by taking the knee. Honestly, he did not. There was nothing in the players' agreement to say he couldn't take a knee. So he did not do that. But people said, no. He's a distraction, and he's distracted from the game of football, and he's putting his teammate. He's selfish because he's not thinking about his team. Those were the arguments. So all those arguments people made for Kaepernick has to be the same arguments you make for Aaron Rodgers. So if you call it like Kaepernick a loser, a jerk, everything but the child of God, in turn, I feel like you should be trashing Aaron Rodgers the same way. Am I crazy for thinking this way?
Nah, and it's also LeBron, shut up and dribble. You know what I mean? Same thing. And going back to your Facebook post, you didn't overtly say something racial, but because you had black players being treated this way and the white quarterback being treated this different way, I think now you say you weren't trying to imply anything, but I think it's easy for someone to infer that you are trying to racially prod people.
Because I have a problem with that, man. And this is why I have a problem with that. Because people will always use the argument that black folks are too sensitive. You always making everything racial. We can't say anything, right? But flip it. When a black person be like, hey, man, look at Aaron Rodgers and how y'all talking about this dude, it instantly goes to a racial spot. So either, like, we see race. Because, I mean, this goes to my point of colorblindness being stupid. Like, you see I'm black. I'm colorblind. Yeah, I know, right? Like, you see I'm black. You see this black skin, and with that comes baggage, right? But by turn of me saying, yo, you're not treating Aaron Rodgers the same way you're treating Kaepernick, because the point is really rights, right? Like, everybody that I have discussed this situation with who is pro Aaron Rodgers and anti-Kaepernick, the point they've made was, well, he's just exercising his rights. It's his right not to take the vaccine. I'm like, but bitch, did Kaepernick not exercise his right by taking the knee? That's literally his right, his First Amendment right to protest peacefully. So you're saying on one hand, it's okay for this guy to express his rights, but this guy can't.
And Kaepernick, man, he didn't endanger anybody by taking the knee. Aaron Rodgers, by unsound decision making on his part, he endangered his team, the families of his team. Mm-hmm. You know, he endangered a lot of people with his choices. Kaepernick just took a goddamn knee.
Right. It's just, you know what, by default, we have to say, if you have a problem with what Kaepernick did and not have a problem with what Aaron Rodgers did, you have to admit to yourself, it ain't what they did, it's the causes. You know, by in turn, you have to say is, look, I have a problem with dude taking a knee, not because it's disrespecting the flag, because I kind of don't rock with the fact that black folks were mad that unarmed black people were getting killed. You got to just say that, man. Like, just own up to it. Because literally, Aaron Rodgers was putting people's lives at risk. Literally putting people's lives at risk. And let me just say this, too. I do think there is an overreach and a lot of hysterical stuff about this COVID-19 virus. And I think a lot of this stuff, we're going to look back and say it was stupid. Some of the protocols are dumb. However, these are the rules, man. Like, yo, y'all keep... flexible. The rules are the rules. These were the rules. Do I think a lot of this shit is stupid? Yes, but that ain't the point. He broke the rules. The protocols was in place.
I mean, when you were just introducing the topic, I did some quick reading online. Just on I'm on NBC Sport, just trying to get the latest info. And it says that the NFL won't suspend Aaron Rodgers for the COVID protocol violations. The NFL previously knew about what he was doing, or so to speak.
But they knew he wasn't vaccinated.
So I quote, the NFL won't suspend Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers for the COVID protocol violations committed before he tested positive and his secret status as unvaccinated, previously known to the NFL and the Packers, came to light. If the COVID protocol violations continue after he returns to the facility, that could change.
So basically, we got caught, y'all. All right, we got caught.
So if I'm understanding this right, he's not being suspended any longer than the quarantine period.
Yes.
for COVID.
Yes, he's not missing any games. Except
for the NFL knew, the Packers knew that he was in violation.
So, yeah. This is the okey-doke that's being pulled, right? Like, yeah, that's the we've been asking the wrong questions when looking at this whole situation. The question is, who knew about this? Like, it's hard for me to believe that Aaron Rodgers planned this whole situation by himself with nobody knowing. This is basically, man, good old capitalism at work. They're like, yo, man, dude brings in the money. We're going to keep this money coming in. We got a possibility of winning this damn Super Bowl. So whatever you want, Aaron, make it happen.
Yeah, and as you said, he got a lot of his advice from Joe Rogan, who is not medically certified for anything. No offense, Joe Rogan. I love his podcast.
Oh, yeah, man. Good podcast.
But
good podcast.
He can give exercise advice. I'll listen to him about exercise. I'll listen to him about fighting. I'll listen to him about psychedelic drugs and sensory deprivation. But if it's hardcore medical advice, I'm not going to... You know, I'm not going to go to Joe for what medications I should be prescribed.
No, I'm with you, man. Like, Joe Rogan has a very entertaining podcast. I like his podcast. Like, I like Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan has a right to have an opinion about everything and talk about everything he's doing. But I'm kind of looking at you people for taking Joe Rogan's word as the gospel. I listen to your opinion. If you want to take swamp water and green grass root, to prevent COVID. All right, man, that's what you're doing. There ain't no scientific basis in this, man. You ain't breaking down the compounds. You ain't got no lab coat on, bro. So it's like, all right, cool. That's what you think? But nah. So I don't know, man. I kind of look at people taking this shit as the gospel too, man. It's like this cult of personality keeps on taking over where everybody just wants to be stupid. Well, I ain't got to do it because Joe Rogan said. Joe Rogan said, that's okay. Are you trusting Joe Rogan?
Well, that's the thing, man, the cult of personality and how people always look to, you know, Hollywood for their political views and stuff like that. And the thing is, like, the scientists and the people doing all the research in the trenches, most of them aren't celebrities. Like, you got like a Neil deGrasse Tyson, you got a Bill Nye, some of them. But most of the people really doing the grunt work are not celebrities.
Right.
So, and they don't even have faces to us most times. Mm-hmm. So when you got somebody like Joe Rogan, or we, you know, Denzel Washington, you know, these big, super famous people, for whatever reason, a lot of folks don't have the critical thinking ability to realize that just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean you're an expert in everything.
Right. Right. That it's basically, it's so you hit the nail on the head. People basically take somebody's cachet in one field and just transfer it to the other one, man. Anything else you want to say about Aaron Rodgers, man, before we get off the topic?
Black people can use white privilege to their advantage. This is just a random thought, because a lot of white folks are dubious about the vaccines and COVID-19 and all that. So if you want to get a taste of white privilege, hop on that bandwagon and be like, oh, I don't know about these vaccines. And you know, you'll get a little bit of white privilege by proxy. You won't get in trouble is what I'm saying.
You get Aaron the white Rogers cosign, man. Like, yo, exactly. we got to talk about that too, because a lot of y'all be really searching for that white acceptance. And, you know, it's, you know what, it's leading into the next topic, man, about the harder they fall. But, like, a lot of y'all, y'all roots and your thinking process as black people is rooted into, like, what do white people think?
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I wasn't the guy who was into holistic medicine. However, that was before I tried the great product at West Wind Medical Resource and Holistic Wellness. And yo, let me tell you something, man. I got a pack from West Wind with some soap. And yo, the Caribbean black soap with charcoal, yo, got my skin feeling baby butt soft. Loving it. Not to mention, man, the turmeric face and body soap, on point. The oat and honey foam, get all my blemishes out the way, man. So if you're looking for something to help your body and to treat yourself, go to www.westwindsupply.online and check out their whole section of natural self-care products. That's www.westwindsupply.online, and you'll be glad you did.
This was something my homie Will like sent me the message. He's like, yo, you doing your podcast? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing the podcast. He's like, yo, did you hear about the colorism thing with the harder they fall? I was like, nah, man, no, what? I'm like, send me a link. And he sent me this link to the Insider. And what it says is the harder they fall star, Jonathan Major, says he's trying to figure out what brings us together after the movie was criticized for a colorist casting. And basically, if you don't know what The Harder They Fall is, it's a movie on Netflix, actually a well-done Netflix movie that highlights historically black people in the Wild West. Now, for those of y'all don't know, and this is a mission of history, that the term cowboy actually refers to a black guy, because the white folks was called cowhands, right? So the term cowboy referred to like all the black people back there who did all the bulldozing, Bill Bickett's, and for people who don't know, the Lone Ranger was actually based off a black man. Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, you can make the argument that maybe we need something that teaches these omitted things in history. I don't know. Call it critical race theory. I don't know. But these are things that are omitted purposely in history that this movie was trying to highlight. So I think they did a great job actually highlighting a lot of this missing history that we're not taught throughout the damn textbooks. Back to The Harder We Fall. It's facing backlash for being colorist. And that's because, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, but Zazie Bess played Stagecoach Mary. And Mary Fields, the lady, she played Stagecoach Mary. And Stagecoach Mary is a dark-skinned woman. And Zazie Bess, sorry for slaughtering your name, is a light-skinned woman. And apparently there's some backlash for this. Now, I'm not going to lie, Alex. You are one of our light-skinned brothers. And I'm not going to say that I'm unfamiliar with colorism, but I'll be interested in knowing your take on this. And anything you want to throw in this, I defer to you before I say my point.
Okay, okay. First, I think it's pronounced Zazzy Beats.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you're casting, it's, first of all, it's hard to find somebody who looks like a historical figure who also has the skill set necessary to make a good piece of work. And with that in mind, sure, I guarantee you there's somebody out there who looks like Stagecoach Mary. Is she an actress? You know, does she have training in the film industry? You know, and also, if we want to be honest, colorism is a thing. And also, we don't like to see ugly people in movies. And I'm not saying Stagecoach Mary is ugly, but she's not the, you know, the standard of beauty, to put it politely. And that doesn't take away from her historical significance, you know, no shade to her, whatever, all the most respect, all praises. But we like to cast pretty people in movies, no matter what race they are. So yes, colorism is a factor, but also we got to look deeper than that to just, we are shallow as hell when it comes to who we like to see in movies. So, you know, let's not focus all on the color aspect. But
let me say this, man. When I first saw this story, I was like, man, the first thing I did when I was reading this, I was like, it's always something, bro. Like, black folks can't do nothing without some kind of undertone happening. I'm like, dude, I was reading this. I didn't see any direct person saying that this was a problem. It's like damn near almost somebody had to gin up a problem. Well, you know, Stagecoach Mary was darker than that. And how the hell y'all think movies get made, bro? You think, bro, like, they picked a black woman. What the hell wrong with y'all? Like, I can understand they made Stagecoach Mary a Jewish woman. Hey, Hakalem. I'm like, yo, that would have been offensive. But they cast a black woman, guys. You can't, like you said, skills come into play. You know, it's been many a times, man, that I've gotten a role that I didn't fit the image. Like, seriously, like, man, look, I'm 5'7" and a half, 5'8" on a good day. And sometimes the image for a lot of these roles I be playing is somebody 6'2". Y'all are really shitting on Zazzy and her acting prowess, man. Like, is she not? Does everybody have to fit every color for every damn role is what I'm asking. Because this is an unrealistic ass standard. Second of all, I don't even believe this shit's real, honestly, bro. Like, I don't believe that people were really mad about this. I refuse to believe that people were really mad about this, because colorism is a thing. But I think this is one of those terms where people, like, take one thing and then try to circle around and make it something bigger. Just like the critical race theory. Like, critical race theory is not saying white folks are victims or white folks should be taught that they're oppressors. That shit ain't got nothing to do with critical race theory. It's just, that's what the buzzwords it made to say. And I think that's the same thing we're doing with this colorism thing. Like, yo, colorism, because Stagecoach Mary was black. Am I looking at this wrong?
Nah, I don't think you are. And you know, just to address the cultural colorism point, you know how there's always like light-skinned niggas and dark-skinned niggas are like this. There's those jokes, mm-hmm. those memes. And it's funny sometimes, but, you know, it's a real thing. Like, my dad, growing up in the South, he told me that his aunt, I think, she favored her light-skinned nephews over the dark-skinned nephews and nieces. So, I mean, it has deep roots. But
that goes back to what I was saying. Sorry, I meant to cut you off. But that goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, man, about how black folks search for white acceptance, because the roots of colorism goes back to the house Negro and the field Negro, right? The house Negro was treated better and had more rights because he was more light-skinned, right? And in most cases was related to the master, right? Had more rights. So the goal was to become the house Negro. However, it's a mute point because everybody was still slaves. Like, yo, I'm a slave getting treated better, but it was like a level of envy. Because the lighter you were, the more privileges you got, right? It's like you hear stories of people passing, like they really black, but they had a lot of Caucasian features, so they pass. And that's what this colorism stems from, is this white acceptance. And I'm like, yo, we got to stop doing that. We got to accept everybody in the black diaspora, man. When I see you, Alex, I know you're light-skinned, but I don't be like, there go a light-skinned dude. Matter of fact, I don't know. I've never made light-skinned, dark-skinned jokes around you. Am I right? I've never done that, right?
No, never.
Yeah, because, look, man, I'm a firm believer, man. At the end of the day, dog, you light-skinned, but you black, bro. And black trumps everything. Like, we can talk about, oh, you get like three more extra privileges because your shade's lighter. But at the end of the day, you still black, man. So I don't get all of this backlash about this damn movie. I'm happy they made a damn good movie. And the movie is good. It's like something got to distract from the damn greatness of this movie. Idris Elba did his damn thing. Love you, Idris. It's like, yo, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, and this also just goes to show, like, there are people who are not going to be satisfied with anything at all.
Anything.
And you can't please them. So, you know, as long as Rotten Tomatoes gives you a passable score, then fuck it, man. Because, like, if I get offered a role, this is just an example, to play, like, Muhammad Ali in a movie. Like, say Will Smith didn't do it. And they wanted me. Muhammad Ali, he's a little bit darker than me, but God damn it, I'm gonna do it.
You know what? We have an interesting point, a counterpoint about this, man. We actually been in this situation, right? In Japan. Now that I think about it, somebody I know, you is who I'm talking about. You play Stevie Wonder.
Man, yes, I played Stevie Wonder.
Yes, and I was on set. I played Stevie Fred. Now, one can make the argument that I got dreads. I should have played Stevie Wonder. Right? But yeah. No, you fit the role more and you did a better job. Like, yo, I can't get mad at that. Like, how dare them pick Alice to play Stevie Wonder when this dark man right here, come on, bro. Neither one of us looked like Stevie Wonder.
Nah, man. It was the hair and the beard. Yes. That's all it was.
I can't get mad at that, bro. Like, yeah, I can't get mad at that. Like, you was a buff ass Stevie Wonder. Hey, yo, that was a good. That was a good shoot. I had a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun, man.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Like, I always love working with you, dog. Like,
oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
The best times ever. But yo, it happens, man, is what we're saying. You can't be shitting on an actor or actress for getting a role, man. It's more that goes into it than color, man. If you're looking at just color when it comes to casting somebody, your movie gonna be booty. Like, yo. Yeah. I got this good actor, but I can't catch you.
Hey, you know, I'll have something to say if Jessica Alba plays Harriet Tubman. Then we could talk.
Right. Like, yo, I'm pretty sure Johnny Depp or Leonardo DiCaprio could do a damn good MLK, but I don't want to see it. But if you tell me, do I think he could do it? Oh, I think Leonardo DiCaprio would kill MLK.
Like, nah, man. It'd either have to be Daniel Day-Lewis or like you said, what's his name? You just said it. Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp will kill MLK. Like, yeah. He will murder that role. Like, that's a role made for Johnny Depp, bro.
Johnny Depp. Robert Downey Jr., he has a proven track record.
Robert can do it.
Pulling off some chocolate.
I would watch Robert Downey Jr. play MLK.
That would be hilarious.
Man, bro. Like, what you talking about, dog? Like, they had an all-black Hamilton cast, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, rewrite history as if like Hitler was black, MLK was white, and Malcolm X was go ahead and make him Russian.
Yo, real talk, would you watch a all white cast do black history, like historical black characters?
Boys in the Hood.
I'm saying like historical black characters, like it's an all white cast, and then you got like one dude playing like George Washington Carver, W.E.B. Du Bois. A Philip Randolph.
Grinding them peanuts.
Yeah. Marcus Garvey. Like, yo, we all got to go back to Africa.
Man.
That took me dope as hell.
I mean, I think the creators of South Park could pull that off.
No, I think, you know what? Like, all joking aside, if I saw like an all white cast of people like playing like historical black characters, like it had to be all white though. Like you, to pull this out, it has to be all white. I think it'd be a good statement piece to say, like, yo, we actually care about y'all history. Because it's American history, you want to be honest, right? And that's the thing. Like, people keep saying the push against critical race theory is you're separating us. But the problem is you're omitting a large chunk of history containing Black people. That it's omitted on purpose. So, like, yo, yeah. When are we going to be included in regular history? Travis Scott's Astroworld fiasco. Did you hear anything about this?
I did hear about it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so for those of y'all who don't know, but I'm pretty sure everybody knows, for those of y'all don't know, Travis Scott Astroworld Festival opened in November and it sold out, very unsuccessful festival. And 8 people died during a rush to the front of the stage. I think the youngest victim was 14 years old and the oldest victim was 23, if I'm not mistaken. But 8 people in total died from the festival. And first, I think we all can say, you know, condolences and prayers to their family. Hope everything's okay. But what is your general take on this, Alex?
A 9-year-old was also hurt, not killed, but there was a father that had his 9-year-old. I don't know if the 9-year-old was on the shoulders. I think it was 9. On the shoulders or being held by the father, which I don't know why you would take a 9-year-old to a Travis Scott concert.
That was my next question. Yeah.
My first immediate primal response was just that people are dumb. And that, you know, it's a shame that the people died, you know, no one wants to get trampled to death or squished and suffocated, but like people dying at concerts, like that's stupid. There's no reason for that.
Now, just to piggyback on your point you just made, they said it was the general admissions floor because for those of y'all who don't know who haven't been to festivals and concerts in a while, the general admission floor is basically the mosh pit. It's a pile down there in order to get more people in there. They say general admission, they remove all the chairs. It's just basically a dance floor and a party and you commune with everybody. And let me tell you something, that's one place I would never be at my old age now. That's something you do when you're young. I've grown up amongst the whites and I've been to some of these things they call raves. And let me tell you, like the rave experience is basically general admission. It's like you're down there amongst everybody in the mosh pit. When something exciting happens, man, everybody's cheering. And I ain't gonna lie, I've seen some people get punched out, like just from dancing and stuff in general admission. But that's something like exclusively for young people. Like you would never see a general admission mosh pit type situation at the Weeknd concert or Frankie Beverly and Maze. You're not gonna see that there, man. This is something like uniquely done for young people, man. I just want to point that out, man. Please continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I also heard that Travis Scott's refunding all the tickets, right?
For who? For what? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of dumb to me, though.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess...
Because you're about to get some lawsuits, my guy. Like, you should have kept that money, bro.
Yeah,
you could pay that out for real.
From what I've heard and seen in the news... there's a history of things like this happening at his concerts. Yes. Like he's incited his fans into getting buck ass wild.
Right.
But then again, like I said in the beginning, people are stupid. Like, why are you gonna riot in a confined space just because the dude on stage is trying to rile you up? Like, people could put the blame on him. But at the end of the day, he didn't make nobody do a damn thing. I can say, hey, if you don't give a fuck, put your middle fingers in the air. But if they do it, that's their choice.
I don't think Travis Scott is to blame per se for young people doing stupid shit because this is kind of, and I sound so old by saying this, but this is kind of a young people thing, bro. Like you ain't gonna see people like 33 and up. Or you shouldn't. If you're 33 years old and up in general admissions, getting buck and swinging, like, man, do something with yourself. Do something with your life. Check out your life decisions that what got you in general admissions, man, down there. Like, at my old age right now, bro, I'm trying to sit down. Like, yo, I ain't trying to do nothing extra. You entertain me, my guy. Like, yo, I ain't trying to add to the energy to your concert or nothing. I paid you. I want to see you dance. But there is something about young energy. an incitement that I would say will make him partly culpable. But if I'm not mistaken, that's not what really happened at this festival. Like you said, he has a track record of inciting people at his concerts, but since he got, like, I think he's been sued a few times for this. I think since then he's been trying to calm down. But this is the issue, I think. In this independent age where we have, like, a lot of people doing stuff themselves, because this is Travis Scott's festival, there is no separation or no degree of separation in this. So who am I going to blame? I'm going to blame the name on the marquee. This is your festival, the Travis Scott Astroworld Festival. So who am I going to blame? I'm going to blame you, my guy. However, I do believe logistically there would be no way to stop this from happening if it was going to happen. If people were going to rush the stage, like, what number of security guards would you need to stop that from happening, bro? Like, seriously, you got like 50,000 people on the bottom floor. How many security guards would you need, bro? And not to mention, in the story I read, they said the festival was up to code. Like, they had, like, the correct number of people for fire hazards in there. Like, everything was done up to code.
I mean, yeah, you could say just because his name is up there, but I think that argument doesn't hold up under scrutiny, because just because his name is up there, like, if you go to, like, T-Mobile Stadium, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody accidentally dies because they got pushed out of the over the balcony.
Right, you're not gonna sue T-Mobile. You're not gonna sue T-Mobile.
Can't blame T-Mobile for that.
But no, he's actually a funder of this. It's like actually him. Like, once again, this is in the vein of these independent artists who've been cutting out the middleman, and sometimes the middleman is needed for situations like this. Once again, this is a once in a lifetime. Let's not pretend like, you know, every time a concert happens, somebody's died, right? So we're not going to sensationalize this one concert. But, like, in the vein of me being an independent artist and putting out my music myself, not being on a label, that's basically what he did with this festival. He got his own money together, along with some other people, and put out this festival his damn self, which is a flex. Because, you know, you get all the money and everything like that, too. But if you get all the credit, I think you're going to have to get some of the blame, too, right?
I mean, it depends on what you're getting blamed for, though, because and I will say for him, I also heard he's covering all of the expenses of the families who lost somebody at the festival. So that's something he doesn't have to do. So kudos on him for stepping up and, you know, doing that, because he has the
cynical
means.
Man, but that's a PR move, man. Like, I may be cynical on this. But I feel like this is a PR move, bro. Like, because, like, I don't know what you can do in this situation, bro. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, even if it is a PR move, it's impact versus intent. Mm. So even if it's a PR move, if your family doesn't have money to cover funeral costs and all that stuff, and he pays for it, whether it's a PR attempt or not, he's still doing net good.
True.
Through that action.
True.
So, you know, got to give him credit for that. But I don't think he should have refunded all the tickets.
If you want to talk about PR. That was just not knowing what to do, dog. That was just not knowing what to do. It's like, yo, we got to do something. Give him the money back for the ticket. It's like, seriously, just, I think that's something so jarring. And I will push back on the notion, people saying that Travis Scott should have stopped the concert. Like, when you on stage, bro, you got a crowd that damn big. Let me tell you something. As a person who's been on stage and venues not that big, I don't know what the hell's going on in the crowd, bro. Like, I dead ass don't know. I can't see everything. And you talking about, like, selling out a venue that damn big? Travis Scott didn't know what's going on. And nor can he knows, man. His job is to put on a good show, right? Mm-hmm. I think the only thing you can say is somebody should have been down there to tell him or relay the messages. That's the only thing you can say. Bad communication. But, like, saying, and I saw the video where Travis Scott was performing and the young lady was like, people are dying. Stop the concert. But once again, how is Travis supposed to know that? That's like one small spot in a big ass venue full of thousands of people, bro. I think y'all being a little bit like too like, I don't know, judgy on that one, man.
Well, yeah. And like, yeah, sure. In the video, you can hear the girl, but that's because the camera's right there.
Right.
Like, if you go to like a nightclub, you can barely hear somebody talking to you a foot in front of your face. And he's on stage with speakers and he's got the microphone and everything. He's not lights. Focused on that. Yeah, he's focused on trying to give a good show. So, like, yeah, that argument is just booty. That's booty butt cheeks.
That's bomb. All the way. That's bomb. Like I said, my whole thing is, I think this is going to hurt him. Because once again, you have a track record of doing this. And, like, people going, for better or worse, they're going to look at that and be like, well, see, this is what happens at a Travis Scott concert. And not to mention your name is on it and you're funding it and this is your thing. So, I don't know, man. It's going to have to be a lot of good PR work done to, like, get another one of these Astroworld festivals off the ground. Or it may be like the inverse thing. It may be people like, yeah, I got to go to the Astroworld Festival, man. Somebody died last time. Like, dead ass. And I'm not even trying to be like cynical when I say that. But I remember myself in my young, dumb ass times. Like, I wanted to go to every club that they were shooting at. Why? Because women was there. I mean, it was lit yesterday, man. Shit. It's like, seriously, it seemed like all the baddies be at the club where the shooting was at, bro. I don't know why.
Maybe like, that's why the shootings happened at those clubs.
Hey man, you actually just cracked the Da Vinci Code, bro. Like seriously. Most of the time, dog, we were just like, yo, wilding over women. Women that probably didn't want us. Like, yo, man, we were so damn stupid. Like, yo, man, I saw her first. Like, what that means, bro? I saw her first. Like, she ain't got no choice.
I saw her first. Real talk, man. A lot of the violent tendencies that men have exist because of competition for women.
It does.
I'm just gonna put that out there.
It does. Like a lot of that, I think you can cut back on at least 35% of like male instances, maybe more. I'm just saying, like lowball 35% of all like violent instances if you just cut off the competition spigot when it comes to women.
And you know, this reminds me of something I was thinking about actually earlier today. In the bicycle parking areas in Japan, you know, the ones that have like the rack that you slide out and slide in. Yeah. There's between the racks, there's not enough space for two actual bikes. They're going to be colliding, like the handlebars will hit or you'll hit the pedals of the neighboring bike. Even though they're individual tracks for the bike tires to roll into, they cram them together because why? Capitalism. They want to get as many bikes in to that space as possible, even though there's literally not enough space per lane for a bike to not hit the neighboring bikes. And, you know, the festival lack of seating is like that. We want to just get as many people as possible, fuck chairs, they can stand, they could jump. And it's all about money, maximizing your profits at the expense of actually like
safety,
providing a good, in this case, safe service. In the case of the bicycles, you know, ease of use. And, you know, if they want to really address the problem, have seats.
That have, you know, that's the thing, right? Have bolted seats. Having bolted seats would do that. But however, I will say, like, being a guy who went to like festivals and stuff when I was younger, like part of the festival culture is like the general admission, the communal time, like and doing that. But you know, yeah, in the future, you might just have to take that away, man. Might be the move.
I mean, it sucks. Yeah. Cause you know, people want to jump around and have fun and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to stop 8 people from dying, there are ways to do that. It's just, you got to decide what's important.
Yeah, you got to spend some money on it. And not to be remiss, there are rumors going out. I didn't really want to talk about that much, but there's rumors that somebody was going around drugging people at the Astroworld Festival too. Like somebody had a needle and they was injecting people with fentanyl and opioids, but that hasn't really bear out. It could be true. I don't know. I'm just saying I do know I've heard those rumors, but I'm not really saying anything about it because I've been in many of festivals and drug use is rampant. Like,
like, what was it? That brown acid that went around Woodstock years ago? Yeah, that's why they make songs today called Don't Take the Brown Acid or something like that.
Right. It's part of the culture. It's drugs. Like, exactly. Drugs have always been part of all these festivals since Woodstock, Burning Man, all the festivals. drug use is involved. And you're talking about like Travis Scott's demographic is around 13 to I'll say maybe 28. A lot of people in their 30s really ain't listening to Travis Scott. I mean, maybe they are, but I'm saying like his main demographic is not the 30-year-old demographic. So like you're talking about a lot of teenagers getting together. And look, let me tell you something, man. A place where a lot of teenagers get together, something bound to happen. Stupid. Something dumb's gonna happen. Like teenagers and 20-year-olds, bro. Like, I keep telling you, I don't trust nobody under the age of 25 to do anything responsible. That includes cops or any profession. Like, if you're under 25, man, I instantly like put a buffer in that you're stupid. Like the dead ass, I put a buffer in that like you don't know what you're doing. Like, yo, I keep that like, Like, matter of fact, yesterday, that young lady that we talked to in the studio, like under 25, I'm like, yo, like, look, ma'am, look, get a little milk, get the milk off your breath first before you try to come to me. Like, yo, like dead ass, like, we're not doing this. Like, yo, you cannot step on the same stature. I know you're doing a job, but look, calm your little young ass down. Yeah, she was actually 24. For those of y'all don't know, yesterday me and Alex was at the studio recording some more random shows where we got in a heated debate about Nelly and Bone. It took up, took up most of the time. And at the end, we got shorted technically 5 minutes. It's their policy, but we got shorted 5 minutes. And that wasn't the problem. Their policy is that they want you out 5 minutes ahead of time. That wasn't the problem. My only issue was one of the staff that came in there while we was cleaning up to get our stuff out of the studio, she was pretty rude. So I just took it upon myself to be like, hey, you know, next time that we're cleaning up, please don't, you know, don't come in there with your loud voice. Like, take it down a couple decimals. Which then escalated into her saying, well, the policy says, I'm like, that ain't what I asked you. I ain't asking about the policy. Like, cool. But I'm just saying, next time you come in there, like, lower your voice. Like, we don't need that. We're cleaning up and we're making an effort to get out. So, you know, if you want to help clean up your stuff, that's okay. But like, don't come in there yelling. And that morphed into her like showing me this whole little thing, this whole document where of all the rules in the studio, half in Japanese, half in English. And she was like, well, here it is in English. Once again, assuming that I couldn't read Japanese, which is okay. Good assumption. But she gives it to me. And I was like, okay, where is it at? The English didn't match the Japanese. So I was like, no, it's not here in English. So where's that policy point you're talking about? And she was like, oh, well, here it is in Japanese. I'm like, but you told me this in English. It's not here in English. Long story short, after I get through making her feel stupid for that, she's like, well, can you sign this saying I talked to you about it? And I was like, nah, I'm not signing this. Like, for what? The English and the Japanese not the same? And you want me to sign this? Like, you gave me a good shellacking? I'm like, no, we're having a conversation. The point is, don't come in there yelling. That's it. Like, that was the whole point. Like, all this other stuff was like tertiary. But I did get an apology for that when I called back. And I'm picking up my battery there tomorrow. But yeah, that was just something funny that happened to me yesterday. But like I said, 25 and under, I don't expect you to do anything responsible for that. Yo, read the room, lady. Sis, I wasn't yelling at nothing yesterday. I wasn't yelling, was I?
Nah. You were very calm. You're very respectful.
Yeah. Because like people like to say, oh, man. Spade, you too sensitive. Like, no, man, I just made my point. Like, look, man, just don't come in there yelling. And it just morphed into that, well, you should have been out. I'm like, whoa, lady, calm down.
Hey, while we're on the topic, these social media influencers who are in their early and mid-20s trying to give, like, life advice.
Shut up.
Thank you.
Shut up. Like, yo, bro, like, I'm kind of reluctant for anybody to give me life advice. Like, when we give advice, we always say, man, like, take the advice. Don't take the advice. We don't care. It's just our points of view on it. If you can take something from it, cool. But like, yo, man, if you 20 years old, you ain't did shit, bro. I'm just going to be honest. You ain't did shit. Like, and I'm not even trying to say this pejoratively. You do not have enough life experiences in most cases, because it's always an exception. In most cases, you do not have enough life experiences to be out here giving people the advice. Now, that's not to say that if you're a 20-year-old, maybe you can give somebody in high school some advice on how to navigate the social turmoils and pressure. But like, stay in your lane is what I'm saying. Like, keep your purview is very, very narrow. Like, yo, like, I'm not taking stock advice from you, my guy, at 21. Or life advice, he man. So what you need to do, Spade, to center your chi, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, no. Not doing it.
Big facts. Big facts. Know your lane.
Yeah, that's all it is, man. Oh, man. Well, that's about it. Maybe wrapping it up. Do anything you want to talk about before we leave, bro?
Oh. I'm gonna be honest. I'm still in shock from our argument yesterday. I don't wanna reignite it. I'm just letting you know. I'm not over that yet.
I bet like when people see that Random Show episode, nobody's gonna understand the amount of passion two grown ass men had by talking about Bone Thugs and Harmony and Nelly. Like you would never like. Dude, there's no way you can explain the amount of passion and just bombs we were throwing out there. Just talking about Nelly and Bone Thugs and Harmony. Which we said too, both of us like both of the acts. Like we're not like shitting on either one of them. It's just I lean more towards Nelly and the homie Les Caliber leans more towards Bone Thugs and Harmony. Which I like Bone Thugs and Harmony too, guys. I'm not saying that like Bone Thugs and Harmony is garbage. Just saying. I think in comparison to Nelly, I think Nelly is a better act. But yeah, that was heated, bro. Like, we spent almost an hour on that. I kept on trying to move us all. Alex was like, no, no. I got to make my point.
Man, Hunters, we got a lot of fight, man. My pops is the same way. My brother's the same way. We have to be heard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People got a lot to chew on.
If they didn't kick us out, man, we would have kept going.
We still be here right now.
Be right now. Let's go on close up. We'll be here when you come back in the morning.
Yeah, man. It's kind of water plants. If that's the Common Knowledge podcast, man, like I try to do this once a week. Please, everybody, I'm asking you, November 16th, listen to Elspedia 2 out on every music streaming platform. Also, be on the lookout for the Benza 2. Your boy makes a cameo in the Benza 2, and I also did a lot of music on that. Look out for my boy, Alex Hunter. He will be playing two roles in the Benza. So be on the lookout for that. Y'all be safe.
Peace.